Welcome to Buena Vista Socialist Club, a bonus episode 2. A second bonus episode, everybody. It's great stuff. As always, we've got Ben McClay.
Hello.
I've got Lucy Valentine.
G'day.
And our very special guest, Twitter's at Ayn Randy, a.k.a. Bogdad, a.k.a. Theo. Hello, Theo.
G'day. Thanks for having me.
How does it feel having, like, the bullshit, stupid names that you've called yourself on the internet said out loud? Does that feel good, or...?
It feels incredible. It fills me with power.
It's just empowering.
I feel wonderful.
Yeah, well, I've met a bunch of people from Twitter, and people like Goran at Joke Lover. I think in his mind, my name is just Illy. Mm. He refers to me as Illy in the real world.
I still call you Illy to other people.
There you go.
Otherwise, they won't know who I'm talking about.
That's fair. Some guy, Andrew.
Some guy.
Anytime that I say my real name on Twitter, absolutely every time one person goes, oh, what, Andrew?
They do.
Tim the Tool Man.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, everybody, quickly, I just want to hear everybody's impression of Tim the Tool Man's grunt. Ben, go. Lucy, go. Theo, go. Yes.
All right, yeah.
That is okay. By far the best one.
But he studied that at the university.
Literally years of practice.
Just watched every episode many, many times.
And that the new show that got cancelled that he did, the conservative one.
Yeah, the sexism show.
All right.
Yeah.
The sexism show. Women be talking. That one. Whatever that one's called. All right, folks. So what we're going to do on this year's special bonus episode, and I'm going to take a very quick segue there to say, sorry, anybody who is a beautiful Patreon subscriber. We had a little bit of a lull between our first and second bonus episodes, but we're back on our bullshit now.
Mm.
We're back on our bullshit.
Lord help us.
We're getting this twice as much stuff production schedule down, and we're sorting it out. So we asked for some questions for illustrious brain genius Theo, because we figured if anyone can solve absolutely every problem that anyone can nominate, it's Theo. He told me he could. He promised he could.
Mm.
He signed legal documents explaining that he can, and that he will make himself, you know, legally responsible for any kind of outcome of any of the answers that he gives.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that I'm now legally binded to Buena Vista Social Club, LLC. I will solve all the problems, because if you look at my life, there are no problems. Do not look at my life for these problems.
So we're going to hit you with some questions here. Number one, numero uno, friend of the show, Kieran Morrissey, all-around good lad. He has a question, and that is, of all the many different types, what would you say is the very best kind of footlong?
Kieran, Jesus!
All right, I see what he's
going
for here.
I'm going to assume this is a George Pell reference.
I assume that's George Pell. Yeah. Look, I mean, you've got to go the classic 12 inches. If you ask me, what you're going for? First of all, 12 inches.
It's a solid foot of length.
That's right. That gets you, I feel, most of the way there.
That's one of my favorite jokes now. That was my favorite George Pell joke that I saw almost immediately after the news of him being charged was, I see George Pell is going to be enjoying a different kind of
footlong.
I love it's one of those memes that it gets so far divorced from its original meaning that it just takes on its own comedy just out of pure arbitrariness. What's the word? Am I on here to do words? I don't know.
Arbitrariness,
that's right.
Mm.
Sure. I can't wait until it's gone full circle and it becomes like an actual sincere thing you say when someone's dead.
Enjoying a different kind of footlong in heaven.
Enjoying a different kind of footlong in heaven.
Yeah. He's enjoying God's footlong now. Yeah. All right, well, so we can say without a doubt, Theo prefers a solid 12 inches.
I do. That's correct.
If something's going to be a foot long, make it 12 inches. That's what I say.
That's right.
Mm. Yeah. So you're a traditionalist.
Yeah, I don't go for the baker's footlong.
It's 140.
I don't need that extra inch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a glutton. I'll say that. I'm not a glutton. All right. So we were just having a conversation about this very subject. Dear friend of the show, Eliza Gager, who will be appearing on an episode very soon. She is on Twitter at @3liza.
Sure.
And she asks, dear Randy, which I enjoy.
I'll go by Randy. I will answer to Randy.
Dear Randy, what do you think the Australian slang term for vaping should be?
Oh, man. Oh. See, this is tough. I actually thought about this one, and I didn't come up with a good enough answer because Australian slang for stuff absolutely rules. And it's like a 1 in 1,000 kind of strike, like, you know, like sucking the dick off a cold one. Just incredible slang. I don't know. Have you guys got any ideas?
I'd go with sucking it off.
Yeah.
Sucking some weed off.
Yeah. Sucking on the robo dick.
Sucking off a cloud.
Yeah.
It's a tricky one. Ben, what do you got?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. There's got to be some rhyming slang there, surely. That. Just don't know.
Not good words that rhyme with vaping, to be honest.
No.
Different kind of footlong, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't. Please explain that to us in great detail.
I'd rather not.
I'd like to hear something that is kind of associated with the what do they call the vapors who do like the gigantic clouds?
Cloudmancers.
Libertarians.
So look. I think we can all agree that one needs some work, and I think that we should all just put it out there to the world and try and make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can make something happen and establish an accepted Australian slang for vaping.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, we will move on. Friend of the show, Andrew Rosebrock asks, how come everyone isn't smart like me?
This is the curse of the genius.
Yes. Yes, and I assume, yeah, you understand what he's feeling.
That's right. I mean, I think 50% of people understand having genius-level intellect, especially online, where everyone is genius-level intellect. And
we are.
Everyone that isn't is extremely stupid and should log off immediately. And that is really, I think, our dialectic, what we're about online. So... But I don't know why. I don't know why everyone else is so stupid and I'm so smart.
I think it's pop culture. You know, I personally became genius because I mainly read the classics, listened to only classical music.
Mm. Yeah, and watched only The Animatrix.
Yeah, exactly. Classical film. For instance, my favorite pop star is Brahms. You know,
and
so a lot of other people they'll listen to. You know, Beyonce or the Backstreet Boys, and that's why they're not genius like me.
Yeah. Brahms that's was true. The original subject of Listomania. That's where it came
Yeah, from. I believe that's true.
Yeah.
But he's enjoyed it.
No, I'm the same. I'm a smart guy. I only read the classics like Maddox's 2006 book, The Alphabet of Manliness. Really important stuff like that.
The only show you watch is The Mad Show with Adam Carolla and Marc Maron. Is that who was on it?
I only watched the original version that had Jimmy Kimmel on it.
Oh, good God.
Oh, was it Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah, I want to say it was Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla. The girls on the trampolines, you know, taught me all about physics.
Mm-hmm.
All that sort of stuff. I only take the finest culture into my brain.
And what a surprise that Adam Carolla ended up taking a rightward turn into a pile of shit in the last couple of years. Who would have seen that trajectory from The Man Show, intellectual touchstone of our times?
It's important stuff. And he's corrupting that now.
He's corrupting the memory we all have.
Yes.
Of girls on trampolines.
Oh, now, this next question, I feel like this is going to get very contentious very quickly. So I would remind you all to keep it civil. to civilized debate. Remember that we've got to hear both sides of every issue because we are all rampant centrists, after all.
We're all centrists.
I'm still with her, for the record. Now, for this question, friend of the show, at Karlsky B, asks, what's your favorite Bicky?
All right, listen up, you stupid motherfuckers. Are we talking assorted creams here? Because I feel like that is the easiest and most canonical set of biscuits to rate.
Assorted creams? Are we talking about biscuits or the last time I had sex?
No, well, I'm going to say that the cream-filled ones are disgusting and you're all wrong.
Unbelievable.
What?
I kind of agree.
Fuck.
Yeah, also, I'm going to throw something into the mix very early on just to really muddy the waters, which is that, contrary to what a lot of idiots believe, I think that biscuits and cookies are fundamentally different.
They are different things. They're absolutely different things.
They're absolutely not.
Like the English notion of a biscuit, like a milk arrowroot or like a, you know, even a scotch finger, a shortbread, any of those things.
Digestives.
Yep, very different to like a cookie, a chocolate chip cookie, a big ass fudgy cookie, any of that sort of shit.
This is absolutely wrong. This is categorically wrong.
Yeah, this is madness. So, not participating.
A Toll House cookie, a snickerdoodle, any of these things.
List more examples.
They're fundamentally different in their composition and their makeup.
You could have a shortbread cookie. That's a thing.
It's not a cookie.
It could be. If you call it a cookie, it's a cookie.
Oh my god.
Oh, so now we can just call things whatever we want.
Everyone you don't agree with is a Nazi.
Unbelievable. Biscuits and cookies are the same thing in Australian English. If you don't like that, you can go black to.
I got weird.
It all comes
back. I'm sorry. I accidentally became briefly racist in the middle of that sentence, and I would like.
Different kind of footlong.
So are you going to make a statement as perverse as my favorite kind of biscuit is a chocolate chip cookie?
Well, no, because that's not my favorite. What are those ones?
Oh my god!
Where the biscuits, kind of, it looks like an Anzac biscuit on the outside, but the cream in the middle is kind of orangey that comes in the assorted creams.
Orange cream. Oh no, the other
one. The assorted creams.
It's a Monte Carlo, isn't it?
It's a Monte Carlo. Yeah, that's right.
I'll rate a Monte Carlo.
Yeah, sorry, I'm actually with the racist on this one.
Yeah. I like that the outside of the cream filling has a bit of chewiness to it.
Yeah, it's got little. I believe it's made out of the same. It's made out of sausage casing. I'm relatively certain.
I believe it is.
It's a good texture.
Not everybody from PETA knows that Arnott's uses pig intestines on every Monte Carlo.
They do,
but we don't want them to know, frankly.
Can you imagine the campaign?
Oh, they'll do another god-awful campaign.
I can't wait.
It'll be like some hot supermodel shelving Arnott's biscuits and be like, you wouldn't do this, would you?
Mm.
I might.
My favorite was probably... I mean, there was this week's entrant, which was like, check out these two dudes who just finished fucking a chicken. A weird poster.
Yeah, like, and where it clearly looked like they both had like the time of their lives.
The message was meant to be eating meat byproducts can like give you erectile dysfunction, but the imagery was enjoy, you know, having a Coke party with a chicken.
Yeah, this chook just sexually awoke them both.
Absolutely, because the chicken looked calm and they both looked shook. But my favorite is still an egg is just a chicken's period, and you wouldn't eat a lady's period, would you?
Guess you don't respect women then, do you?
That's right. Peter, do not respect women. We're not eating periods. Lucy, what's your favorite biscuit? Come on.
I'm going to go with the chocolate royal, because marshmallow's fucking sick.
La-dee-da, your majesty.
Bougie biscuits.
Extravagant biscuit.
The official biscuit of the monarchy.
It is.
I'm looking at pictures of one right now because they've not immediately sprung to mind for me. Oh, that's a quality biscuit.
It is a quality biscuit. It's got the jammy bit.
It's got a little line of jam, yeah.
Theo, are you just agreeing with this racist guy's take about the Monte Carlo?
No, I do enjoy a good Monte Carlo. I think my favorite and I can already picture Ben's reaction, is actually the vanilla shortbread.
Guy from the Neutral Planet. Just, I guess, a little backstory for our international listeners and also everyone else. Theo's, like, two favorite things in the world, plain white rice and room temperature water.
Wow.
I can't believe that that is both a gross mischaracterization of...
Show me the lie, bitch.
...the things I enjoy and 100% true.
Everything else is too spicy for Theo.
He's the mild boy.
All right, if I got to pick a favorite biscuit, I will pick the type of biscuit that if I open a packet of them, I will consume the entire packet of biscuits.
Absolutely.
And that is the Arnott's chocolate-covered bear.
Oh, hell yeah. Give us some fucking teddy bears.
I destroy those things. I cannot stop. They are the Pringles of biscuits to me.
A classic.
I can't. Like, it's a problem. I can't stop myself. I currently keep buying, like, a dozen donuts from Coles in the mornings at work and just eating. The other day I ate 10 donuts in a day.
Jesus Christ, dude.
That's horrible.
And I buy them under the pretense that I'm sharing them with the team. And a couple of other people eat some donuts, and then I just mainline all these cinnamon donuts.
And they cost, like, nothing, right, from Coles?
It's like three bucks
or something. Yeah.
$3 for a dozen fresh cinnamon donuts. Oh. It should be a crime.
When I was, like, 20 and working at a Woolies in, like, the produce department, I'd start at, like, 4 in the morning, and then breakfast would roll around at, like, 9, and because I was, like, skint as shit, but also I was still a growing boy, I was super hungry. I would just buy the cheapest stuff in the store to eat, which was stuff from the bakery, which is all the sweet stuff. You get like 3 cream and jam rolls for like $2, or a family-sized custard tart for like $2.
Yeah.
I just buy one of those, and I just sit there, eat the whole thing in one sitting while like a room full of people just look at me horrified. It's this disgusting beanpole of a man just shoving a custard tart into his face.
That's right. People are madder about it if you're thin, that's for sure.
Oh, they hated me for it. Doctors hated this one secret that I used.
Yeah, they hated my one secret trick, which was to appear normal on the outside while having severe heart disease. Now, our next question. I normally eschew this format of question because I do not like to publicly state someone that I intend to murder. But
oh, good.
Yeah, friend of the show, Ian ND, good friend of the show, asks a question for Theo, which is, marry, fuck, kill, Andrew, Ben, and Lucy.
Oh.
Yeah, wow. And I can't imagine why you would even have to ask this question. Because, okay, so first of all, isn't it fuck, marry, kill? I mean, I don't want to...
It is, that's definitely
sully the format.
So I'm gonna blame Ian for writing that in the incorrect order.
Good, blame Ian.
I have only read out what he has written. Please do not blame me.
Just want to say that, keep in mind, as you're saying your answer to this question out loud, we're very close friends. We spend a lot of time together, you and I, Theo, and, you know, just what you say could change that.
You're also currently in the same house. So if you state an intention to murder Ben, he may immediately take defensive action.
Yeah, except I have to leave the house through the room that he's in.
Yeah, I'm actually blocking the one passage out of Ben's house at the moment. With that said, it is obviously fuck Andrew, marry Lucy, kill Ben.
I just feel like...
I really can't fault that.
Uncontestable.
I can fault that.
Ben, you're being overly sensitive here.
I just feel like that we've had a lot of good times together. I don't know why you wouldn't want to marry me.
Ben, you're getting hysterical. I need you to calm down.
So I'm just going to put the microphone down for a second and then walk into the next room and beat the shit out.
That would sound really funny on the podcast. Yeah.
Ben's going to drop off the call and do a quiet weeping.
Unbelievable. So
a friendship has died here today, folks.
A friendship ruined.
Yeah, no, that's not the only thing that will die.
I'll be enjoying a different
kind of footlong. Yes. I think in this scenario, Lucy and I will be enjoying an actual footlong at some point, and Ben will be enjoying a different kind of footlong. A footlong of murder.
Are you two just announcing your intention to have Subway at some point in the future?
I haven't seen Theo's dick, so I can't make any sort of conclusive call about what kind of footlong I'll be enjoying.
I've heard terrible things.
Well, I would expect to, like, to be honest, I would expect to hear terrible things about a footlong penis, because
it's a bit much.
It sounds unwieldy, it sounds inconvenient, it just sounds like a whole thing to deal with.
It seems like you would have to relearn the tools if you...
Yeah. Very much. I don't know how you even keep that thing running, you know? For our next couple of questions, we need to establish the context that Theo has a wife.
Mm. I'm extremely married.
He's very extremely married.
More married than you.
Yeah. Same here. Much like the queer people of Germany, we are married.
Wow.
Shout out Germany. Good job on just knocking that one out of the park.
Fucking 70 years ago, you were putting them into camps, and now they can marry. You turned over a new leaf, Germany.
Shout out, friend of the show, the country Germany. So we got a couple of questions here from a big bag of keys on Twitter. Can I get your wife's email address?
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I'll just forward that one on to you.
If you give it to me, I'll tweet it at him.
Only two people know my wife's email address. The first is God, and the second is, as of Friday night, Ben's girlfriend.
Oh.
And she's absolutely refusing to pass it on to me, which I think is criminal.
What I like about this is the implication that, number one, Theo does not know his wife's email address, and neither does his wife.
George has made a habit of this now. She's managed to get the wife's email address of both Theo and also, I don't actually think they're actually married, but he did get a friend of the show, Board of Darkness's email.
Oh.
So she's collecting wife email addresses.
So, Andrew, you're next.
You can have my wife's email address. That's fine. She lives very far away from all of you.
And frankly, she goes to a different school. Yeah.
My wife lives in Canada. if you would like to, you can at my wife on Twitter at MILF Money.
I'm gonna at her.
Sensational.
She's definitely better on Twitter than the rest of us. Her Twitter is a delight.
She's very pure of heart, isn't she?
The only tweet I know of hers is the photo you posted of yourself at the train station, which she tagged with "Come home immediately."
Yes, it's true. Unfortunately, I have some terrible news to pass on, which is that my wife and I have fallen in love.
Oh.
At this point in our marriage, we've grown accustomed to each other's presence.
I'm so sorry.
That's nice.
R.I.P. my relationship. Oh, so we got another question here from friend of the show, Daz. He asks, what are eggs, and how can they help one attract a wife? I understand that Theo regularly hooks his wife an egg.
I do. Look, I mean, and if you don't, I'm not going to say you're a bad husband. I just can't understand how you'd be a good husband if you're not constantly cooking eggs for your wife, even if she refuses to eat them at one point.
I shake my wife awake at 4 in the morning.
I made you some proper eggs.
It's a hot egg.
Would you mind, I know that you have two songs specifically about cooking eggs for your wife. If you'd care to sing one or both of them at us, that would be wonderful.
Don't hold out, Theo. Come on.
No, please share your gift with the world.
Which my wife hates, by the way.
She hates them almost as much as she hates the eggs.
Yeah, so I will sing her to the tune of Working 9 to 5. I will sing Cooking Egg for Wife. Or been spending most of our lives in the kitchen cooking eggs for wives. This doesn't seem to have improved their relationship.
All right, well,
but she's already taken the bait. She's stuck with you now. So you could sing as many songs about
that is absolutely right. Divorce is a sin.
Marriage is binding. You got to stay married.
Exactly.
Yeah. Marriage is pretty binding. Well, I have a question, and this is a very, this is a deeply personal question, which is, how does your wife like her egg?
Cooked. I think we covered that in the previous
question. And as we all know, there is one single way to prepare an egg.
There's only one way I know. You throw it on the pan, you cook it till it's done.
Yeah, what I'm now picturing is that Theo is basically one of the people from the infomercials where they have a product that helps you crack an egg without making a mess. And you know how they always show the people who are getting it wrong and they're just like...
Fucking idiots.
They're just throwing an unbroken egg directly into a pan.
Yeah, it's me in black and white in my kitchen, shrugging my shoulders like no one has ever shrugged before.
Perplexed.
Perplexed. How did I get this so wrong?
Yeah, oh, there's uncooked egg all over the splashback. There's my wife's cooked egg is mostly shell, yet again.
She's trying to divorce me because of how poorly I have cooked egg for wife.
That's right.
Alright, we got a couple more here. We got one important one here. From friend of the show, Hacklocked.
Oh, Heather, dear friend of the show.
Dear friend of the show, Heather. She asks, Theo, how do we fix Australia? And can I have a hug?
Wow, two-parter.
Two-parter. I think this will have to be answered in two parts. Well, I mean, I don't know. Is this a serious question from Heather?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've got it pretty good. When you look at what's going on in America and what have you, I don't know, where you take just about any metric, you know, privatization of prisons and police brutality and all sorts of stuff going on. You know, I think we're very lucky to live where we live, but, you know, there are obviously lots and lots of things that are terrible about Australia. I mean, we had a race riot, for goodness sake.
It's true.
Not too many years ago. Like, how do you explain how you get to that point of actually having a full-on race riot in Australia? I don't know. It still seems insane to me. How long ago was that?
Well, it was in the 21st century, so that's bad enough.
Yeah, in the 21st century. That's right.
We have regular instances in the media where we have to have national conversations about how whether or not blackface is okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And most of the time, the answer from most people is yes, it is.
Yeah, crazily. And I mean, I think I was too young to understand the hey, it's Saturday kind of kerfuffle at the time, which, you know, we get the joyous event of actually reliving every time Red Simons says something fucking batshit insane. So, you know, that's good. So I don't know, how do you approach if you just take the issue of racism in Australia? I mean, I don't feel like it's necessarily getting better. Not in leaps and bounds. I mean, we started to have more of the conversation during Labor's years, you know, where just the concept that we should apologize for things that we, as you know, white imperialists have done to the Aboriginal people in Australia. You know, a lot of people still don't accept that and still take that very, very harshly. And I don't feel that with the current state of the discourse and with 18C, fucking Pauline Hanson being on Studio 10, you know, of a morning. You know, why does this keep happening? And I think a great part of it is this concept, this dipshitted centrist position that you've got to hear both sides. You know, you don't have to like it, but you've got to hand it to ISIS, right? Like,
you do.
And yes. it's always this. You don't get a far left, you know, environmentalist terrorist on the show. It's always someone holding a scientific or socially kind position to say, hey, you know, maybe there is a lot of context around blackface and you shouldn't put it on. And then, you know, that's on the left-hand side of Tony Jones. And then on the right-hand side of Tony Jones is Mark Latham in blackface. You know, like...
Shirtless, you know, Mark Latham. Blackface from the neck up.
And I, you know, the idea is bunk. It's not sinking in. We still have these fucking, you know, episodes of Hack where, you know, you've got to have both sides, and that's reaching, I assume, tens of teenagers who haven't actually tuned out between afternoon drive and the nighttime shift.
See, I found myself saying, I feel like I might have said it on one of our first episodes. Like, it felt like, you know, a couple of years ago, maybe 5 years ago, the sort of national conversation that was happening was around, like, those videos where people would capture somebody on public transport, like, doing a crazy racial tirade.
Oh, people love
a minority.
Being racist on the bus.
Love a bit of bus racism. But, yeah, people would record that, and then it would, like, blow up on the internet, and then the police would get involved, and then they would find that person and charge them.
Yeah.
And then racism was solved. Once that one person was in jail.
But the conversation around that at the time was, is that an appropriate way to deal with these people? Like, is putting all that stuff out there, is publicly shaming people and having them lose their job and stuff, is that an appropriate way to deal with that? But now the conversation is it fine to say that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
The conversation moved away from, like, yeah, the conversation moved away from, is that an acceptable way to deal with it, to, oh, we gotta hear both sides. Yeah. We gotta hear the side of the person who's screaming that shit at someone on the first place.
That's right. Well, the person that's screaming that shit now doesn't get arrested because it turns out he's a plainclothes police officer. Like, this is the moral universe we have somehow condescended to, you know. It is insane. My hell lives within the comments section on all of those videos. You know, it's, and I don't see, you know, I think going back to the first part of what you said, you know, the conversation 5 years ago used to be around publicly shaming these people, trying to get them fired, you know, because no one wants to work with a racist, and, you know, we believe that there should be some moral repercussion. But
Sky News accepted, of course.
That's exactly right. But, you know, I don't know whether psychologically this actually is a winning battle. And I think there's been things that I've seen where, you know, they say if you present this sort of thing in this way, it can do more harm than good. And I wonder whether, you know, not to blame the process, but I wonder whether there is a great degree of that has actually occurred. I don't know, because, and obviously I don't take it to heart because I spend about 16 hours of my day on Twitter yelling at people. So, as do we all.
Yeah.
So the answer is yell at people on Twitter, I assume.
I believe so.
Yep. You know, you see lots of things about, like, you know, people are always saying that's never the way. You don't change hearts and minds by doing that sort of shit. But, like, the stories, you know, those, like, Upworthy-style stories you do see of people suddenly becoming not racist almost universally because, like, you know, someone, it'll be like some guy living in a tiny town in America and then a Muslim family moved in next door. And then, like, 6 months later, he's like, well, I'm not racist anymore because I realized he was just a guy.
Well, yeah, some of it is just about actually being exposed to people who are different to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree that the gotta hear both sides of it thing, like the crazy centrism that has crept in of like, oh, well, you can't just tell someone they're not allowed to do something about that sort of stuff. I feel like that shit is stupid, and we, you know, people collectively should be coming at it from a position of, do you want to live in a society where people are actually trying to get along and be good to each other and everything? If so, you need to tell other people around you when shit is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Like, broadly speaking, that's the only way people find out that stuff is unacceptable in the society that they live in.
Unless I say it, I don't want anybody to call me out on anything.
Yes.
In that case, it was irony.
Yes.
I respect women enough to never tell you when you are doing something extremely racist.
Thank you so much.
All right, well, I'm going to consider that question answered.
That's the first part,
absolutely. This second part is, of course, anytime.
I feel like you might have already given her a hug on Friday.
Well, I'm not going to start post-dating my hugs.
Oh, so this is for a fresh hug, not just a hug.
This is right.
Ever.
This is a Punta Vista guarantee for one fresh hug.
Yeah, as the moment, you know, as of the moment the question was received. or spoken out loud, like a wish to a genie.
Yeah, we all know the genie rules. Absolutely, yes. Yes.
You must vocalize your wish. Aladdin couldn't make his wish when he was underwater, drowning to death in Aladdin.
I do remember that specific moment. Mm. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you. Well, it's the true parable of our time. Disney's Aladdin. All right, folks, I believe we're out of questions.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's, well, look, there were probably some other ones. There were some we didn't understand, frankly.
Throw us one of those ones.
Yeah, okay,
yeah, I'd like to see if you guys understand a couple of these, because they went over my head.
Okay, ready, everybody?
Yes, yeah. Ready.
Here we go. Friend of the show, Citizen Toxo, asks, mm-hmm. Beans Baxter or the Edison twins?
I don't know who they are.
Okay, so as far as I know, there's only one Edison. It's just Thomas Edison, right?
I assume so.
Were there two of him?
So he's lost me on that count. And what was the first one?
Beans Baxter.
What is an Edison twins?
Is it just porno?
It's some kind of children's television program in Canada.
A Canadian children's television show that ran from 1982, the year I was born, to 1986, the year I died and was reincarnated as my current self.
I was not born, so...
Mm. And as we all know, you can't actually watch anything that came about from the years before you were
born. You can't. It's illegal.
I've never listened to the Beatles.
Yes. I don't listen to the Beatles because here's my hot take. The Beatles suck shit.
Oh, no.
Jesus Christ. No. Let's not.
That's a dumb take.
Don't drive this between us.
You can...
Thank you, everybody.
I think it's reasonable to be like, hey, I'm not thrilled by the Beatles.
No, I'm...
Anyone whose take is...
I'm taking the active stance that...
The Beatles are shit.
I'm taking the active stance that everything that they ever wrote was worse than the worst LMFAO song.
Well, the podcast is over.
That's over.
For the second time today.
Well, no, we're going to keep going, but Andrew is fired.
I'm fired from the podcast for my... Like, look, you know...
Let's not fire Andrew. He does everything.
Yeah, no, please.
If you'd like to sing along to imagine all the people without imagining John Lennon beating his wife and abandoning his children, that's fine.
Oh, John Lennon fucking sucks.
Yeah, John Lennon's he's a real piece of work.
Mm. And all those guys enabled him.
I don't think you could flip this on me like that.
Ooh, this is a woke take.
Yeah, I feel like you've put me into some sort of Chinese finger trap of wokeness.
Some kind of woke vortex.
And you know what? I refuse to pull my fingers out.
Look at our woke Corona over here.
That's right. That's right. Those three guys, they were down with it. Ringo Starr was happier to profit off of that than he was to attempt to make it as just an MS Paint artist.
Oh, Ringo.
I love Ringo's art.
I love Ringo because he's just happy to be there.
It's great stuff. He's the only true artist out of a lot of them. No, I take it back. I like Wings.
Oh, fuck you.
Wings fucking rule. I love Wing.
Is this the best take I've had on the podcast so far?
This is the worst. I regret asking for the additional question immensely.
Mm. See, this is why I didn't ask them. We got there from Beans Baxter and the Edison.
We just descended into madness.
Sorry for not trusting you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I exclude questions that are going to lead to friction. Instead, next time I will keep it to purely asking about Theo's wife.
Yes, strictly wife questions for volume 2 of Randy Chat.
Typical leftists, not up for debate.
That's right. We'll keep it to the nice, easy questions, like when Theo is going to kill Ben, his good friend.
Yeah, if you could give me some advance warning of when I have to start, like, putting spike traps around my house.
I'm not real good at committing to dates, so I'm gonna say that. So I think we're just gonna have to play this by ear.
But the worst thing about this is that I know that you generally hate leaving your house. So it's quite likely to happen the next time I go over to yours.
Mm. You're going to have to go over there and help him out with it.
Yeah, I know I'll say yes. That's the worst thing about our friendship.
Mm. You're a very agreeable man.
I am. People say that.
All right. Well, now that I've ruined the show,
mm.
I think we can leave it there.
Let's leave it.
And, yeah. So thank you, Theo. Thank you very much for sharing your big brain with us.
You're quite welcome.
And I'm sure we will have you back sometime for another round. of questions. Another steaming load of knowledge.
Just unload those questions on my face.
Don't. No reason for talk like that.
Another foot long of genius.
Same foot long of knowledge.
Well,
maybe that's the favorite kind of foot long. All right, I'm going to leave it there.
All right.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll see you very soon.
Bye.